Hello, this is Ellis Prince, the pastor of the Gallery Church of Baltimore. I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. I hope this teaching inspires you and gives you courage to pursue Jesus Christ. I hope that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to reach out. Now let's get back to the podcast.
My name is Eric. If we haven't met yet, I'm going to be reading today's scripture for us. If you want to turn in your Bibles with me, it's found in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask God, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is what Scripture says. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble.
Thank you, brother. You know, you could have kept reading all the way to the end. Could have went to the end of James, and we probably wouldn't even notice. It'd be all right. So, good morning, everybody. You doing okay? All right, shout out to all the kids today. I'm going to do my best to keep it nice and short for you. Maybe tell a couple of jokes, but y'all ain't paying attention right now anyway, so it's fine. All right. My name is Pastor Charlie. I'm one of the pastors here, serving as an interim pastor, caring as we care for Pastor Ellis and Ginger while they're away. I'm only here a few more weeks, okay? So you're almost done. Dad's almost come back, okay? Your parents are almost home. Relax. We've made it through the most part. Lana's been taking good care of us, so we're going to make it through, okay? So we got a few more weeks, yes. All right. So hopefully they come back refreshed, not sunburnt, and that'd be great, you know. We'll be jealous if they came back sunburnt, but that'd be great. As we jump into James chapter 4, it's very interesting because James has been driving at an interesting point of trying to help us as believers get fully integrated. And I want you to be knowledgeable or smart or intellectual Christians that talk a big talk. Very informed about Jesus. You're very knowledgeable about the Bible and scriptures, but your life doesn't match up. And so he's taking us on all these different roads and pathways of how we kind of disintegrate our faith. It might be our tongue that reveals what's really going on the inside. It might be our engagement in relationships with the rich and the poor. How is it that people can come to church and you treat one person one way, and then a poor person comes in and you make them sit in a different space? How could you do that? And so we go now into another chapter. This is all, you know, now this is all one letter, so don't think it's disjointed. He was like, last week, you got to get this thing together. Y'all got to start working together. You got to start integrating this thing together. But we're going further now, and he's going to keep doubling down. And what I want us to see is that there's a tension within. There's a tension that kind of rises up in how we engage with this. Something is happening on the inside of us that wants to stop you from being able to live this fully integrated, mature, disciplined life where you become more like Christ. But before we dive into what it is, let's just think about for a second a bit of a scenario. Let's just imagine this. Imagine an attic. It's an attic filled with cobweb boxes. And there's these boxes, and you got the little stream of light coming in, but these are all boxes filled with things that you've long put away, but a bunch of forgotten treasures. Anybody got old yearbooks? Old family photos, old things that when you come across them, you don't think about them too much, but when you come across them, you got to sit down and kind of start reliving these moments. And for each of us, each one of these boxes holds a memory, a relationship, a career path, a dream we once pursued. And we start to go back down into that moment, into those scenarios. And we start to remember all those things that in some ways are long gone but are still with us. Now, this isn't just any old attic. This is the attic of each and every one of our hearts. And in each one of these hearts lies a tension with an experience. There's a tension with something we've gone through, experienced, the pull of the past, the whispers of what if. What if you had made a different decision? What if you had gone to a different city? What if you had chosen a different college or university? What if you didn't catch that flight? What if you had jumped and taken a risk that you didn't take? What if the weight of regrets and resentments, we linger in these shadows, clinging to these faded memories and afraid to let go and embrace what might be outside? Because a lot of times we end up in these boxes and in these memories and in these moments because we're a little dissatisfied with where we currently are. Where I'm at is not where I thought I should be by now. So we hold on to these past relationships, replaying conversations, analyzing mistakes, wishing for different endings. We carry the weight of unfulfilled careers, imagining success we might have had. Man, I talked to my therapist one time. Man, I was like, yo, you know what? You're bringing up something right now. You're bringing up something. So you're telling me if I had chosen this one thing differently, man, I ended up in a Chick-fil-A drive-thru contemplating my whole life. I would have had a six-pack, my house, I would have been a multimillionaire. Like, oh my gosh, I would have had a yacht and everything. One decision. Now, I don't know if that really would have happened, but that's my dream life, okay? But what if the key to our happiness doesn't reside in these dusty old attics, and what if? What if it wasn't even about choosing one path or another? And that's where it gets tricky. We talked about the will of God, and should I go this way and that? And James got something to say about that. But what if it means we have to embrace the present? I like what my man Common said. The present is a gift, and I just want to be. Many of us hate being in the present because it's too much tension. I want to get somewhere, or I wish I was back there. And we just go, the present, it's just not where we want to be. So this, my friends, is the heart of our sermon today. It's the tension within. What's going on inside? It's about acknowledging the pull of the past, understanding its impact, and finding the courage to move forward. It's about letting go of what no longer serves us and embracing the possibilities that lie ahead. And this all plays into our view of God, our understanding of him. And I think by the end of our time together in verses 1-6, that we might have an invitation to walk with God in a little bit differently fashion. So I want some of you to come off the fence. That's what I want. Some of you are second guessing your trust, your faith, your hope in Jesus. Because of what happened in the past, you're wondering, is he really all that he says he is? Because my life isn't adding up. I can testify to that. I agree. I've felt that pain. In my younger years, listen, I went to church. I did what my mom told me to do. We did all the things. I got married young, all the things. Why did you have to take my mother from me? If I did it right, can I really trust and follow you? I don't know. And some of us have pains and traumas and experiences that we wonder, are you really as good as you say you are? You remember John the Baptist? He knew he was the Son of God. Can you imagine being with Jesus when you hear God speak from heaven? And John the Baptist sat in prison and said, I wonder, are you really who you say you are? So it's okay. You've got doubts, fears, frustrations, and disappointments with this man named Jesus. But I want us to see that there's something on the inside of us that's actually going on, okay? So here we go. The first problem that we're going to face when we look at this passage in James is the problem of conflicting desires. The problem of conflicting desires. James is going to ask a simple question. Here's what it says. What causes fights and quarrels among you? What causes these fights and quarrels? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Whoa. You desire but don't have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask. And then he goes even further. When you ask, you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So he's pointing out something here. There's a problem with something happening on the inside. The word here for desire that we have in this text also could be translated lust in some other translations. But here's the origin of the word. The origin of the word comes from hedonism. So your desire for pleasure, your desire for more, your desire for whatever it is that you want, I want mine. And we talked about that last week. Sometimes we can get caught in the me trap. It's about me. How do I protect me? How do I take care of me? Can't be worried about these other folks. They're not going to care for me, so I got to look out for myself at whatever cost. And he's doubling down, saying, hey, listen, this word for desire is hedonism, and it is the internal selfish orientation towards that which is apart from God and distinct from him. So God, I hear what you're saying. We're supposed to love these folks. No. I'm not interested. Do you know what they've done to me? Do you know what I've experienced? So how can I bless my enemies if they've harmed me so? And so this internal selfish orientation towards the things that are apart from or away from God. So he's asking us two rhetorical questions. What causes these fights and quarrels? Where do you think they really come from? When we look at our culture, when we look at our city, when you look at your own household, your own colleagues, your own classmates, your own siblings, where do the fights originate? He's pointing it out. It's very interesting. Then he drops another bomb. They all come from you. Wait a second, Paul. I mean, James. I know Jesus was your big brother and all that, but you can't talk to me like this. They don't come from me. My wife didn't cook what I wanted, so she don't listen, okay? Now, I would never say that. I'm just saying as an example, okay? That's just an example. I didn't say that. So because she don't pay attention and listen, that's where the argument sprung from. It wasn't me. I'm telling you, it wasn't me. She said we were going to have chicken, and we ended up with pizza last night, and I ain't feeling no pizza. Okay? But it really starts in here. And what's tricky is Jeremiah 17:9 says something that is, man, that is so politically incorrect that it raises eyebrows every time you say something like this in public. Here's what Jeremiah 17:9 says. The heart of man is wicked to the core. Can't be trusted. Wicked and deceitful, don't follow your heart. So let's be honest. I mean, I don't like that. And everybody in the world is trying to argue that point away. But if we're honest, my heart is the one that's driving me in these different directions. And as I look at the babies that are born, as beautiful as they are, they come out of the womb with a selfish nature. I remember one pastor said, they're vipers in a diaper. And you're like, no, not the sweet, screaming, yelling, mine, 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 baby. But they are. It's just our nature. It's our origin story. And and that we choose to do our own thing until we encounter God's ways, the way he designed us to be. So what happens is when you put your trust in Jesus, when you walk with Jesus, when you accept him as your Lord and Savior and your friend, that selfish nature, it doesn't just disappear. So that's why a lot of times when we get to church and we go, man, I should be able to rest here. I should be able to trust these people. They say they believe in Jesus. We can walk together in community and fellowship, and then knives come out. And there's blood and there's guts and there's pain. And why did they say that? And why did they assume I was like that? See, I can't trust church people. Man, that pastor said that. Why is it? Yeah, because we are believers in Christ, but that doesn't mean that nature in us just disappears. We're all being transformed from the inside out. So there's still sin in here. Watch this. But it's not in charge. So I'm still liable. I'm going to make mistakes. I ruin things all the time. I mess it up. That's true. But it is not the thing that has bondage and rule over me now. So what that means is now I have to understand that when I became a follower of Christ, I entered into a battle. Y'all ever remember that song maybe in VBS? I'm in the Lord's army. All right, got it. Somebody had my back. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. All right, listen. I don't know if you know, you got recruited into the Lord's army as soon as you came a believer in Jesus, and that means there's an enemy. The Bible actually says that there's three specific enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. So you're opposed on three sides. The world is the system that we live in. Yes, it is doing everything in its power to not allow you to walk in the ways of Jesus. That's why when you go through life, it's so hard to be a follower of Christ, because the system is rigged to fight you, okay? The spirit that dwells within you, it's anti-Christ. Then you have an internal enemy, which is what James is talking about, the flesh. I got what I want. I got what's best for me. I got what makes me feel comfortable. I got what makes me feel good. I got what I think is best for me. I want to rule over my life. But as we mentioned last week, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, and if we're honest, when we look back in that attic of our life, I really didn't know what I was doing. As confident as I was, how many of us have degrees in here right now that we were like, if I had it to do all over again? I didn't have to take half those classes. Now, I was so sure that this was going to end up like this. But nah, that's our heart. That's the flesh. And then we've got the devil. And the devil is doing everything in his power to booby trap and sabotage your walk with Christ so that you don't believe the promises of God. And you walk away from him. But here's the deal. Jesus prayed an interesting prayer in John 17, because we see many Christians have some extreme views on this. Well, if we're fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil, I can't do nothing about the flesh. The flesh is with me wherever I go. The world, though, let's leave. Let's get out of here. Let's go to Lancaster, okay? Get us a horse and buggy. No TV, no phones. What we're going to do, we're going to live out here by ourselves. Well, Jesus kind of prayed a different kind of prayer. Here's what he said in his high priestly prayer. Father, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. So we don't get an escape hatch. Dad, man, Jesus, just get me out of here. If I could just live in the woods by myself, or preferably on a beach, with the woods in the back, then everything will go good. But no, there's the tension within. And so here's what we got to realize. First point, and like I said, the problem of conflicting desires is this. Yes, you do want to walk with Christ in some days, but most days we want to do what we want to do, what's best for us. Another way of saying that, every sin is an inside job. I like the way Tom Sawyer said it. Y'all know Tom Sawyer? Tom Sawyer said it like this. The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. No, I wish I could say, you know, I used that on my mom one time, Ms. Drexel. I think I heard that one time. And I said, I hit my mom with that as she was coming for me. Mom, listen, I'm telling you, the devil made me do it. I think it stopped her in her tracks one time. After that, now, Charlie, it's you. And many of us want to externalize the issues that are going on in our life, but really, James is pointing out, it starts in here. Let me show you a few examples. Someone blames their addiction on a traumatic event, which is true, instead of acknowledging their own choices and seeking the proper help. Another way of saying it is a person blames their unhealthy eating habits on, I'm big boned, you know? It's my genetics. Man, I wish I had your genetics, you know? Instead of taking control of their diet and lifestyle. A smoker blames their stress on work pressure instead of admitting their reliance on nicotine. What are we doing? I'm putting it out there. Somebody else made me do this. But no, there's something going on the inside. Here's the good news. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and greater is he that is in you than where? In the world. So we are no longer slaves to sin. And although we can make a great appeal to what is happening out there, the attitudes and all the things that are going on, Jesus says, no, you're not bound to that lifestyle, those ways of being, those temptations. It's not like that anymore. You're free. He who is Christ is free indeed. Man, if he set you free, you're good. Now we have to walk in that identity. You desire things that you don't have, so you resort to violence. You covet possessions you can't obtain, leading to quarrels and fights. James is like, if you want to know why you're always fighting and arguing with each other, when you look around and you go, man, why is everything so hard, so complicated? Can't we all just get along? No, because our heart won't let us. My ego won't let us. My pride won't let me. My envy won't let me. They start all on the inside. So if you want to fix things in gallery, that's our goal. We want to see the glory of God proclaimed here in Baltimore and beyond. Amen? If I want to fix things, if we want to be a part of the solution, if we want to be co-laborers with Christ, that means we have to start right here. Don't start out there, not with feeding, not with caring, not with picking up, not with painting, not with praying. And isn't it interesting? James says something else. Well, guys, let's just pray about it. Y'all got any spiritual folks like that in here? I grew up Pentecostal, so that's how we do everything. We gonna pray about it. We gonna talk to the Lord right now. You know what? Let's just decree and declare right now that God changes this situation. Okay, well, great. James even catches them. You know why? What did he say in this? Y'all pray and you don't get what you want because you're praying with ill motives, which means we still got to start right here in the heart. Let me move further because y'all are like, okay, Charlie, golly, my heart is corrupt. I get it. But he goes even further. Second point is this. The dilemma of a divided heart. The dilemma of a divided heart. Look at what James says. Goodness gracious. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit that he has caused to dwell within us? So that's what it is. There's a dilemma of the divided heart. Watch this. Look at what he calls us. Goodness, James, if you got this letter the first time, you're like, yo, who James think he talking to? You adulterous people. Adultery starts where? in the heart. It's a divided heart. He's talking about you adulterers, you adulteresses. Don't you know that friendship, you've chosen sides. You've left the one that you said you loved. He's talking about disloyalty. We made a covenant together. We were in this together. I thought, now you're going to do this? In the Old Testament, the picture of God's people is one of an engagement, a betrothal. He has loved them and he sends them his prophets to them again and again. What does he say to them? You shouldn't wander away from me. You should have affections. You shouldn't have affections with all these other gods. Why are you cheating on me with them? Why every time they offer you a little something sweet, you take it? Have I not loved you? Have I not shown you? Have I not cared? You shouldn't bow down to these little shrines. You belong to me. And the prophets would keep telling the people, you're engaged to God. He is the one who has pursued you. Therefore, you do this because you are disloyal and adulterous. And that starts, we've got a divided heart. It's a dilemma that we face because our desires are going one way and our loves are pulling us a different way. He's going, man, I thought you loved me, but it seems like you got love for everybody. And as Christians, the same is true. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been united with him, right? That's what happens to us. I mean, you were adopted into his family, grafted in, like sewn into the fabric. You can't just go run off and do your own thing all of a sudden. We've been organically woven into the very fabric of Christ and God himself. That's what happens when we do the baptism and it's all water and splashing and all this stuff. You've made a public declaration as if you came up in front of a whole crowd and said, this is going to be my Lord and this is going to be my Jesus. Till death do us part. You did the same thing at baptism. And then here we go looking for something else. And he says, it's not only that you're adulterers, you've made friends with them. Jesus said, y'all aren't just my disciples. Y'all are my friends. You see, this dilemma that comes because we're on the fence, this dilemma because, man, what if there's something better out there? One of the hardest days for me in my life was the day before I got married. You know why? All of a sudden, every woman on earth seems like an option. And you're about to narrow your options down to one for life. And when we walk with Christ, does that temptation go away? Nope. Feels like everybody, every podcast, every TV show, every influencer, every thought leader has a better way of life than what Jesus has on offer all of a sudden. They know more. It seems more logical. It makes more sense. And Jesus says, man, you know what Jesus says? Because he gets a little weird. Hey, you know what I want you guys to do? If you're my disciple, come drink my blood and eat my flesh. And you're like, you know, there might be a better option than drinking this dude's blood and eating his flesh. I don't know. But I pray that what happens on the inside of us is similar to what happens to the disciples. Where am I going to go? You've been too faithful to me all this time. As I look back, yeah, a lot of the times it was going haywire because of my desire. But you were there with me the whole time. And so I love the old hymn where it says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. So don't hear me saying you don't love God when you wander. No, we do. There is still this strong desire, but man, the temptation is real. Take my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it with thy spirit above. Rescue from sin and danger. Purchased by the Savior's blood. May I walk on earth a stranger as a son and heir of God. man, my heart is divided and I got these temptations and desires that want to take me in every other direction. Charlie, you're prone to wander. You're prone to wander. I got 3 children, love them to death. But listen, we get into a store where there's a lot of options, they are going to wander. But my prayer is this, that you know my voice well enough that if I call, come back from wandering. Don't go too far. And what I love is, man, Jesus is going, hey, guys, remember I rescued you. Now you treat me, familiarity breeds contempt. I don't know if you know that. Because when you get familiar, it's just regular. This is just what I'm used to. And so I think there's something more, it's shiny object syndrome. That's what we get, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, shiny objects. Oh, there's something better out there. But watch this. Jesus goes, remember, you were oppressed? Remember you were enslaved? Remember you were bound? I look at the book of Exodus and I see the people and they've been rescued from Pharaoh. And where do they go? Man, you remember how good it was back in Egypt? You remember the onions and the garlic and the, man, it was just so good back in slavery. But like the ghetto boys once said, your mind play tricks on you. Your mind will play tricks on you, and it will remix memories to tell you something about your past that wasn't really true. And you go, Jesus, I don't know if you're really good anymore, and you've started to reminisce about your slavery and oppression. And you wonder why. The verse 5 says, don't you understand he's got a jealous spirit? You see what I've done, what I've created, how much I've sacrificed. I shed my blood, my body, broken, everything. Came to earth, put on skin, all of this, so I could be in relationship with you. And now you think they cooked you a little meal. Now you just feel on cloud 9. And that's how easily we fall astray. But here's what I want to tell you. Here's my last thing. In the worship team can come back up. Here's the last point. Even though our hearts are divided, even though we have the problem of mixed desires, watch this. God's grace is undivided. His grace is still the same. His grace ain't confused. His grace isn't too, I don't know. Should I love them today? Should I not? No, you woke up this morning, no matter what happened last night, no matter what happened this morning, with fresh mercy. And so here he goes, man, I know you, every day we find ourselves at a crossroads, or if we are going to trust that Christ is still good, if he is still satisfying, if he is still worth following. And I'm here to tell you, listen, he's still going, hey, my grace is still on display. It's undivided. I love it. What he started, he said he will finish. James 1:18 said, you are the first fruit of his creation. So he's not going to abandon you, even though you want to abandon you. So how does he do that? How does that even happen? How do we still get this license to come right on back? Here's what it is. You get more grace. You get more grace. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And so today, here's what I want you to do as we close. Some of you need to pray and just like, Lord, I just need fresh, a renewed vision of who you are and what you've done. So as you come for prayer, man, that might be your cry. You might need to confess and get some stuff out of the attic of your heart. There's some things that are still back there that you're like, I wonder if I could get a little taste of that today. And I'm going to tell you this, the more I travel and the more I try to recreate memories, and some of us have done this. Mom, can you cook me that meal you made when I was a kid? And now that you've grown, it don't taste the same. man, this was my favorite restaurant as a kid. I used to come here all the time. I used to love this. Did they change the recipe? That's what happens to us in Christ. You've got a new palate now. You can't go back to that. And Jesus says, hey, I'm going to invite you to trust me a little bit more. As more options come up, the buffet of alternatives to me comes up. No, remember what I've done for you. So that's why we're going to take communion again today, so that you can remember what was sacrificed so that we could be friends of God, so that we could be one with Christ. He is passionate about you. He pursues you. He comes after you. He's, matter of fact, he gets angry and jealous for you. So that's the invitation for us today. Man, we might have to clear out some of those old boxes. You know how hard it is for many of us to clear out those old boxes? It's almost impossible. You know why? Because we've got storage being built all over the city. Storage facilities to hold those old memories. And Jesus is saying, man, forget about that. Come walk with me. Here's the last verse I want to share with you. Hopefully, that reminds you of his goodness. Psalm 16, verse 11, and I'm going to pray for us. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's the promise Christ invites us into. So lean into that today, and away from the world, away from the tension that's within, and trust him at his word, that in his presence there's fullness of joy, not partial, not three-quarter, not 90%. There's fullness, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Jesus, I'm so overwhelmed by your grace. It's undivided, unwavering, and relentless. And it comes after us when we don't deserve it. We've got divided hearts. We've got divided desires. But your heart is singularly focused on each and every one of us. And so we say thank you for that. As we enter into a time of reflection and prayer and communion, Lord, remind us of your goodness. Remind us that in your presence is fullness of joy, and that your right hand, not the world, not what Satan has on offer, not what the temptation says, not what my heart says, in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Gallery Church podcast. I want you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your mind and heart. Let Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, do the deep work that only he can do. I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to the church. Your gifts make this podcast and ministry possible here in Baltimore and other parts of the world. You can be a part of our work by going to gallerychurchbaltimore.com/give or by downloading the church app from the App Store. You can also subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thank you again for listening or watching, and may God's grace and peace be with you.